This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warrior conversation. Of course they need Steph Curry.
But that was them going up against a Golden State team that obviously had all of their best players
full
healthy.
Firepower.
I'm going up against an Atlanta Hawks team that's 34-36.
Well, they're lost to the Denver Nuggets with Steph. And they didn't have anyone.
That's a good point.
I mean, like, look, you can lose to anyone. It's the NBA, you know? It's like, how many days off did the Hawks have prior to the Warriors coming in? Three? They looked fresh. We looked terrible. It's not an excuse. It's just we looked awful.
No, but you literally had like you're gonna look back if you don't make the playoffs. You make the play-ins. That Nuggets loss first and foremost. I know the Hawks one was awful because they put up a 40 spot in the first quarter. That just cannot happen. That can't happen when I have Jimmy Butler, who prides himself on defense, and Draymond Green, who prides himself on defense, and Moses Moody to an extent. Like that just can't happen. That can't happen, especially just starting this to set the tone on this road trip. You come out like that, it was very disappointing. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We have some calls that want to call in Joe Shasky and chime in. I thought that was a very disappointing loss.
Of course.
I thought it was a loss that, you know what, like, that causes me to recalibrate some things. You might say that's an overreaction. I don't think so. Not with the loss that took place on Monday against the Denver Nuggets. Not how you looked at them when they didn't have Jamal Murray, they didn't have Nikola Jokic, and you lost that game. I don't care that you won against the Bucks. I don't care that you won that final spot against the Toronto Raptors, where that game was in the balance, and that Raptors team stinks. And then you lost to this Atlanta Hawks team. That's not very good. So they haven't been playing their best basketball the last week, and that's been very...
I agree with.
It's been concerning for me, to say the least.
With.
And I feel like we do need...
But they were on fire for 3 weeks. Right, so they were eventually going to kind of taper down.
4-4 without, so the Lakers, we got
there.
That.
We go.
Lakers,
right.
4-4 without LeBron.
Right.
So they're a 500 team, but they were, again, for them, that was fine. They were treading water because they've already had, 15 games over 500, whatever they were. Mark is in Berkeley, wants to join the conversation. What's up, Mark? How you doing this morning, man?
You guys got to realize this is the NBA. It's a long season. And right now, this part of the season, you don't look at this game's going to be a win, that game. Atlanta's got their backs against the wall right now. I expect us to win the rest of our games. That's how confident I am. We're going to get up against these good teams. Watch Memphis. We'll beat the easy teams. You guys have to have more faith. The team was tired. If we're going to play without Curry, we need to play without him for a few games to adjust being without him. It was one game. And just watch. You'll see what happens.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Turn the radio off next time. They had 2 days off. I don't want to hear about cross-country games are tough from Steve Kerr after the game. Like, it was this real... They had 2 days off.
Well, no, there's no... I mean, they didn't play well.
They had Magic City the night before? Like, come on.
I don't care what the excuses are. They didn't play well. They didn't have the same kind of fire. They didn't look cohesive. It was a bad game. They have to show up in Miami. I mean, there's, like, really no other way around.
I'm not listening to, like, the Hawks had their backs up against the wall. And I was like, stop. The Warriors have their backs up against the wall. They have 11 games left. 11 games left. And you go out and have that stinker. I thought the urgency level was just piss poor. And that goes from the head coaching. That goes from the players. That goes from the leaders on that team. They are resting on their laurels on Saturday. And I was very disappointed with that. Very disappointed. Oreo Cookie is in Oakland.
Hey, Cookie.
And he's concerned as well with some of these slow starts. What's up, Oreo Cookie?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, yeah, you're right. It is concerning. But once again, we're here complaining or saying stuff about Steve Kerr's rotations. And that game, Kerr doesn't shoot for us. He doesn't turn the ball over for us. he doesn't have a bad game like that. But what he does control is the starting lineup and who finishes the game. So to start the games, we've been having slow starts all year. This time it was offensively and defensively. We can't be giving up 40 points in the first quarter trying to come back the rest of the game. These are NBA players, and we're on their home turf, so we can't be doing that. So my solution to that, take the gloves off. Let Kuminga go. Let him start. That takes a little bit more defense on the court for us to start the game and some offense as well, and it gets them playing with Jimmy and the guys that are going to be important to us. So that's what I have. Kerr has to step it up. That starting lineup last game was not great. I love you, Post, but your offense is ahead of your defense.
No, that last part's accurate, Oreo Cookie. And then he was getting picked on a little bit with some of those bigger, thicker Atlanta Hawks, you know, Okongwus of the world, right?
So right
I
now,
thought Zachary, I thought Risa Shea looked pretty good too.
Their first round picks.
He was very good.
Yeah,
the Frenchman.
So they started Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Quinn Post, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski. That's what they went with to start in Atlanta. So his suggestion is starting Kuminga. That would probably put Draymond Green at the five.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, yes, and again, this is just a one game sample size. If Steph comes back, and then we're all look, back to. But
you
again,
can't play Dre at the five you just, all year.
No,
but I do think we're at a point now because of the severity of the schedule, the season, where you're at in the standings. I get maybe you have to do it more than you want.
And who they are going up against? Adebayo tomorrow? Like that'd be a tough. Like that would take a lot out of them. Like defensively in that game. And he's been playing so well offensively that kind of, you know, again, he didn't have his greatest offensive game on Saturday. He didn't. 2-7 for him, 1-4, just 5 points for Draymond. Wasn't his best game. Three turnovers. I thought they picked on him. They stripped it a couple times from him. They caught him sleeping. It wasn't just a good game defensively, top to bottom from the entire team. And he is the tone setter. And we're talking about DPOY. And I guess, is he the leader in the clubhouse now, I want to say?
Don't know.
A couple markets. Draymond Green.
I thought that he got bodied by a Kongwu in this
game.
No, he
did. I didn't think it was.
I mean, I'm not trying to, like, look, the guy's been brilliant. He's had a phenomenal couple of months here. That wasn't a great matchup or a great game for him. And I think that Miami, whether it's Jovic, Jaime, like, they've got a lot of players that could space the floor, that are long, that are shooters, that are highly skilled. This is not an easy matchup coming up tomorrow.
You call him Jaime. I kind of like that. It's Jaime, but it's good. Jaime. It sounded like Heine.
Yeah, yes, Heine.
He's great. He's awesome. He's got the great flow, too. I love long hair.
Internet rumors that... Did you see the internet rumors?
Well, you got to be more specific. Did you hear the internet rumors?
No, don't talk
What's
about
the
that.
Internet spewing out these days, guys?
That Hawkes was maybe having a relationship with Spoelstra's...
Oh,
ex-wife.
No.
Stop
I don't
it.
Know if that's real or not, but that's what the internet was saying.
Sports,
and then she addressed it.
Sports Illustrated right here. Eric Spoelstra's ex-wife addresses Jaime Hawkes Jr. cheating allegations.
It's a wild sentence.
Miami Heat, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow.
He's getting a lot of play time, considering.
You know what? Just got to play through it. Steve Kerr, after the game on the overall defense.
I didn't feel good about it tonight, but, you know, we were the second-ranked defense in the league coming into tonight since we traded for Jimmy. So overall, the defense has been really good, right at the top of the league in deflections, forcing turnovers. Didn't happen tonight. The biggest thing is we got to respond, bounce back. You know, we got a big game in Miami. It'll be a great atmosphere. You know, you lose a game like this, you got to respond, and especially where we are. You know, in the playoff picture and with everybody right there in the West. So we got to bounce back.
Again, 11 games to go here in the regular season. You can't afford to have stinkers like you did on Saturday. I was very disappointed overall there. And your concern level with a loss like that, does that force you to recalibrate, Warriors fans? Like, Steph needs to come back now. Like, he needs to come back, like, tomorrow. You can't afford to rest him another day and have him wait. Are you there already, 888-957-9570? Because your next game would be Friday. So you'd have basically the entire week off. He would have rested.
The fact that he flew out all the way.
It makes me feel a little bit,
I think
yeah.
he wants to play. I think he's ready to go.
But do you protect him from himself at this point, Joe Shasky? Do you say, you know what, I feel better if we lose this game tomorrow against the Heat, or do I feel good about my chances against the Heat tomorrow? Let's just call it. The Heat have been awful. They've been horrible. They've been like the worst team in the NBA.
This is like their Super Bowl.
Is it?
I mean, it's Jimmy Butler, what? You know, Wiggins.
We'll get into it more tomorrow, I guess, who's this game bigger for, because it does feel like it's bigger for Jimmy than everyone else. Like, again, going
this
by.
This is a big homecoming. And for both guys, right? Like, but so, I don't know. But here's the thing, I look at it. Joe, Steph could get hurt. He could roll an ankle, okay, on top of the butt injury at any moment,
knock
at any
on wood
time.
That he doesn't.
Right? There's a risk-reward thing. The reward is this. You get a top six spot. You get an entire week off. What team of going into the playoffs has more older players that could use a week off than this team?
You told me you weren't worried about the play-in, though.
Well, now I am.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm not trying to be like a jerk about it.
I'm just recalibrating.
No, okay. All right. Reacting to new information. That's fine.
I don't want to play the Clippers in a one-game play.
Okay.
I don't want to play Minnesota in a one. Like, they're going to take a chunk out of you, and you're going to exert a lot of energy. Even if you win one or you lose one and win the next one, like that. That's going to take a lot, and this team needs the rest. I think the rest is more important for them.
It would be a huge win if they were able to get it without him. Then you feel great. It's like, wow, wasn't that a great decision? But it's risky. There's
Here's a lot of risk
involved in all of this, and I think he is going to play tomorrow because just the severity of the injury, you can't hurt it anymore. So if it's one of those where you can just take some like painkiller, put some cream on it, I don't know what you're doing. But if you could just do that, if there's no risk of exacerbating the injury, they go pull them play. Get a little get to take something, you know, the Toradol. They're not taking Toradol all these days.
Put
some painkillers on, take some ibuprofen, I don't know.
The other thing is this team hasn't had a lot of practice time together. Even though they've been on fire, having that week of practice, I think with full strength would really benefit this team. It really would. They need it.
Man, it is crazy how much this, like, the end of the season sneaking up on us here. Obviously, we're less than a month here to go. The last game of the regular season is April 13th. And again,
I mean, we're like a week and a half.
Again,
2 weeks.
It's against the Los Angeles Clippers at home. And that could be for a play-in or a playoff spot.
And if you lose that, you'd play either 2 days later or 3 days later, depending on where
you're at. And it's probably going to be the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I don't want to play Anthony Edwards in a one-game situation.
Yeah.
I'd rather not. Jimmy's in Bayview. We're going to get you on the other side, Jim. Plus a super chat. I'm going to tease a super chat in there because it's about Jonathan Kuminga and one Caris LeVert. I want to get into some of the trash talking that took place over the weekend. 888-957-9570 is the number. Your concern level right now with that loss on Saturday is what? And does Stephen Curry need to come back sooner rather than later with this team after that loss? And also the patience level of Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot baked into that I want to get to as well. Plus, I have a conversation with one Kyle Harrison of the San Francisco Giants we want to get to at some point today, as he was optioned back down to the minor league club. He's not going to start with the big club, it looks like, to start the season. We'll get into that. Plus, more March Madness thoughts. And Joe Shasky has some thoughts on the NFL draft, and you're not going to want to miss this. He might be looking quarterback in a certain round. Yes, quarterback. I thought they already had a quarterback. That's what's coming up next, brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.
Jonathan from San Francisco, you're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky.
Oh, can't say that on air, Carter. You can't say that on air, but that was really funny. It's an inside joke, a geography joke. You had to be there.
So, I'm getting an email right now.
Oh.
Steiny has a 100 score on the KPIX College Bracket Challenge?
Wow.
Wow.
That sounds about right, because he went chalk all the way, probably. That's Steiny.
Wow. Vern Glenn, 98. Shasky, myself, 98. Daryl the Guru Johnson, 98.
Ooh.
Paul Hagan, KPIX, 96. Gianna Franco, 96.
Hello, Gianna.
Matt Lively, all the way down at the bottom.
Okay, let's...
All the way down at the bottom.
All right.
Low man on the totem pole. Or I guess it's high man, because I heard that... Anyway, regardless... Joe Spadoni, score 84.
I'm not last place. You made it seem like I'm last.
What?
I'm like fifth to last, okay?
I'm talking about 95.7, the game employees.
Oh, well, Mark is like 2 points ahead of me. Relax, guys, okay? It's, hey, I got Duke going all the way. I'll be fine. It'll get me all the way up there.
I bet we all have Duke going all the way, which means you're in trouble.
Well, I don't know if Mark does. But you know what? That's okay. Because knockout tournament, you can't get mad at me, all right? See, this is the thing with the bracket challenge. You can't get eliminated right away. Like, the knockout tournament, Joe Shasky got eliminated right away. I made it to the championship round. Like, so there's levels to these things, all right? So we'll see.
I love how I should just have my wife and LJ's picture on there, because that's who helped me pick my bracket.
Oh, exactly. See? So, there you go.
I don't know anything.
Well, none of us do. And speaking of March Madness, it's been kind of just March, like, dullness. Like, it hasn't really been, like, a lot of, like, upset alerts, like, that we've been, like, St. John's getting upset. I was like, okay, but, like, Calipari's a really good coach, and, like, and Arkansas has been a good program. I don't care that they're a
Calipari's
team.
Calipari's a great recruiter.
He's won a title.
Okay. He's also left so many on the table.
Okay, but do we realize how hard it is
for the
amount of one-and-dones they had for him to be competing every year, and we just expect, oh, they get all this talent, all these one-and-dones. Like, you're a coach.
Skill sets
are
completely different. No, no. I view college as, are you a great recruiter versus an in-game tactician? There are different skill sets, and he's a great recruiter. As an in-game tactician, I don't think he's that great.
I'm saying it's hard to be an in-game tactician head coach when you have so many one-and-dones all the time. Those kids are going to be making mistakes. And true freshmen make a lot more mistakes than like a Syracuse team, like a Jim Boeheim when he was there, that were there for 4 or 5 years. Like, when you're going up against those teams, like, yeah, like, that happens. So I never really faulted Calipari that much. I know everyone wanted to crush him because he always had the number one recruiting classes, and they sometimes were like one or done or 1-2 or Sweet 16 and done. Like, he was great there.
Entire landscape currently is all transfers and people coming in at the last second. I don't know.
I think he's built for the NIL era personally, too. Maybe. I think Calipari's, like, he's really good. Like, and he's showing at Arkansas. Again, Arkansas going back to the Sweet 16. They did it with Musselman a couple years ago. I think they went the Jalen Williams, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Moses Moody, obviously, mm-hmm. being a part of that team. So, yeah. March Madness is in full effect, and Sweet 16 begins, what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. And they're going to be over at Chase Center, right? Who do we got there? Do we know? What matchup is at Chase Center? Florida? Florida, Maryland. There you go.
Will Mr. Chase Center be there?
Oh, which one is that?
Bonte.
One Bonte. Well, it's businessman Bonte Hill. Of course he's going to be there.
Yeah.
He's going to be dapping up. Whoever the top recruits are at Florida, he's going to be dapping up and say, I knew all. He's going to be like LeBron James. I knew this kid when I saw him at Chase Center. He was going to be great. That's going to be, he's going to do his Bonte LeBron James.
So is Todd Golden, is the Florida team coming
to just well rounded
Chase Center? Because, you know, that would be a return back to the Bay for Todd Golden.
That would be a return back to the Bay with Todd Golden. A lot baked into that with Todd Golden.
I'm frustrated with me when we had him on air a couple years ago.
Oh, you did?
And yeah, we had him on air, and I said something like, all right, Todd, so like, when are you leaving USF? It was something to that effect.
And I don't think he was laughing off where
it was. Like, it was like so obvious. Like, if you're at USF, it's like, I mean, come on, the SEC money came a calling, and I would have left too.
Wait, who was?
I have to ask that again.
Who was the coach of McNeese State who had accepted the North Carolina job already, but only when McNeese State lost, then he was leaving. So he was acting like he wasn't going to be the next head coach. It was very odd, the whole thing. But he took Aura with him, Amir Khan, you know, the legend that is Amir Khan. He took him with him to NC State. So there you go. And thus concludes our March Madness 5 minutes.
Nice.
On 95.7 The Game. And by the way,
Steiny, 100% score. That's kind of incredible.
Don't sleep on it. Hey, he knew Dalton Connect. I'll give him credit for this. He called Dalton Connect last year. He was going to be a serviceable NBA player. He said he wasn't going to be amazing. He said he was going to be a rotational
SEC
NBA
player of the year. Was he not?
Yeah, but a lot of people thought he was just
going
to be
going out
like
on a limb there.
Okay, he fell all the way to like the 20th pick. Like,
he's also bragging about calling upsets when he was a 10 seed versus a 9 seed.
Yeah, let's call that a coin flip there, buddy.
Hey, Steiny, if you're listening, I have your back. These guys are trying to, like, bring you down. I got your back, brother.
I don't have his back.
I always have his back.
He's never brought me any food. Every day I go out into that the break room, and all I see is this guy have a beautiful croissant and ham and cheese sandwich, and I go, that smells delicious.
You want him to bring you one of them?
Have you ever asked him to bring you food?
I've brought donuts for the crew. I've never seen Steiny bring donuts.
There's a difference between bringing everyone a ham and cheese croissant.
I didn't ask for that.
And
I said
donuts.
Bring food.
Okay. Well,
I'm confused. You want him to just bring anything,
donuts,
or like you want him to bring something specific?
He's not
he comes
a donut
in
guy.
At a time where there's more restaurants and more shops open than when we do. He should, you know, come with gifts every now and then. That's all.
Are you done? You feel better?
No. Steiny, if you don't show up with croissants today, it's going to be a lot of disappointment. Because I know he's listening right now.
888-957-9570. You know who didn't?
Guru brings vibes. I'm expecting Steiny to bring a little something.
You know who didn't have their donuts on Saturday? The Golden State Warriors.
Clearly. No, they threw up a donut.
Or they ate too many donuts. Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, and Bob's Donuts, if you will. I can go for some Bob's Donuts right now, Joe Shasky. Yeah. Or I used to work near or live near a Dick's Donuts. Love me a Dick Donut. Yeah, they're pretty good. And by the way, I'll guess on 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest lines. It's time for you to discover the islands. River Islands Lathrop. On Mondays, you guys are the guests, and I want to hear from the people. How frustrating was that loss on Saturday for you? And that loss opened up some eyes for you, saying, like, yo, you went from blessing in disguise that Stephen Curry had to miss time
Talking yourself into it.
To what?
When someone's out, you're talking yourself into what could the silver linings be.
Well, stop doing that.
Why?
Just to say you have 11 games left in the season and that there is no silver linings, you need Stephen Curry. Well, this team's not good enough to win without him.
Of course. Like, both can be true, but also the competitor in you is like, all right, somebody else step up. That's called the Patrick Ewing effect, going back to Bill Simmons. Like, this is a thing. We see this in sports sometimes. Teams galvanize behind an absence and they play well for a couple games and then things regress back to the means.
But what if Steve Kerr just said it was, you know, a cross-country game and it was hard?
You know, these games are tough, you know, when you fly across the country and the team's waiting for you and, you know, they've been playing well and they just blitzed us. You know, it's disappointing. You know, you want to have a better effort coming out of the gates, but I've been in this league a long time and I've seen this an awful lot. Tough to get the legs moving and the mind working. First game, you know, we had this earlier in the season, I think, at Charlotte. Terrible first half. It's not an excuse because it is what it is. Everybody deals with it, and they were by far the better team out of the gates, and that set the tone.
Cross-country games are hard, and they're tough, Joe Shasky. That's what I got from there. That's not an excuse when he had 2 days off. Like, I'm not hearing that. He's not, you know, it's Steve Kerr. He's the head coach. He's trying to, like, you know, say, you know what, guys, this is just, we'll take this one, wear it, and then we're on to Miami, if you will. But at the same time, and I'm trying not to overreact after one game. I'm really trying not to overreact to one game because I feel like that's what
it
I'm doing right
like
now.
It feels like you're reacting pretty severely.
You have 11 games left.
Uh-huh. Did you think they were going to go 12-0 on the
final
12?
Get dropped 40 in the first quarter to that Atlanta Hawks.
Sure, I didn't either. And that's
not
sucked.
When you have the guy that's saying he's going to be a DPOY, who says he is the DPOY in Draymond Green, and he didn't look like a DPOY on Friday, on Saturday.
I didn't have George Niang scoring. Let's see. Let me just look at how much he had. George Niang. Oh, he had 23. Yeah, that wasn't on my bingo card. Was that on yours?
No, but that goes back to defense. Transition defense was bad. They were just playing catch-up defensively the entire night.
Yeah, but they let George Niang get anything he wanted off the dribble, you know, from deep, in the paint. He was making plays for others. Like,
the scouting report was there on this team, though. They're like one of the top three most scoring offenses in the last, I don't know, handful of months. Like, this team is really good offensively.
And there's no doubt. It should not have crept up on them, but they outplayed them, and they just did. And all of their role players outplayed even your primary players. Like, Jimmy Butler, I didn't even think he had that great of a game, quite frankly.
Well, that's what I wanted to get at, too.
Like,
the Jimmy Butler angle to this, like, I know, like, the stats will show he was the only one in plus figures and the plus minus. Yeah, we love the plus minus. He was a plus 11, 25 points, 8 assists.
A lot of it from the free throw line.
He had 14 free throw attempts.
Yeah,
he missed
exactly.
Four of them, too. I'm kind of a little concerned, by the way, Jimmy Butler at the free throw line. He's been missing, three or four on a given night.
He missed two the other night, like in a row.
Yeah,
bang, bang.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned about that. Just a little bit. Shout out 50 Cent. It's not 50 Cent Friday, but just a little bit concerned. 1-7 from beyond the arc. 7-15 overall for him. The shot still. I'm worried about it. I am. Not the 3-point shot. I don't really care about those. It was probably way too much for my liking. But if Steph is going to not be there, or if he's going to have a bad game and he's going to have an off night, Joe Shasky, we have seen him step up when Steph's not having the greatest night. But when he was out altogether, I expected more of a scoring output from him to just, you know what? Instead of 15 field goal attempts from Jimmy Butler, give me 20 plus. Give me 25 plus. Just go play off Jimmy for me. I don't care. Have the ball in your hands constantly and just go after it. He did play a lot of minutes. He had 38 minutes, so we had a lot of wear and tear there. I understand, but I would have liked to see him take over the game a little bit more, and I wonder if the fans were feeling that too at 888-957-9570. I would have liked to have him even have a bigger imprint on that game than he did.
Pods was hitting threes. I thought that Moses Moody, though he hit a couple threes, the shot has just been a little off for him. Even though I thought he had a good game. I thought Moses had a really good game. But right now, the three ball just isn't necessarily a strength. And so going 3 of 8, I'll take it because he has not hit. I can't remember the last time he's hit 3 out of 8.
No, it's a good point.
It's been probably a couple of weeks. But, like, he had a really good game. Outside of that, nobody else was hitting. And it just felt like the team was very, I've used this term a lot, constipated in the half court.
Constipation.
And they settled for a lot of bad late shot clock spots. And just, it didn't look good. And credit the Hawks. I thought they made a lot of winning plays, both offensively, defensively, and in transition. And what they do really well, Okongwu destroyed them underneath. Yang destroyed them underneath.
And does that come to focus here now? That recipe from the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday, does that give you a little bit more concern to some of these younger, big athletic teams? Again, no Stephen Curry, but the fact remains, even if Steph was there, like, that's a defense that I feel like still would have gotten shredded. Like, Steph's not adding much defensively if he was out there. But, like, is that something you're starting to, like, in the back of your mind creep up? Like, when I watched the Clippers and I watched the Thunder last night go back and forth, like, high-level basketball in a given series, like, I do still think, as a fan base, you know, we're sleeping on the fact that, yeah, those types of teams are out there in the West, and in a series, that's going to get exploited. So that does cause me to have recalibrations. When you have a loss like that, it does cause me to step back and say, deep playoff run? Well, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Like, if I'm playing, like, and again, I know the team's struggling. I seem to think everyone thinks that the Grizzlies, no one's scared of. I know you and Bonte poo-poo them. You guys sleep on Taylor Jenkins. You just say he's a bad coach. That's fine. I know, like, they have some athletic big freaks, though, on that team at times, a Jaren Jackson Jr., particularly. I know he's hurt right now, so we'll see.
Well, they've relegated him to being a three-point shooter at times in a series, so we'll see. But you bring up the Clippers. Like, Zubac kills the Warriors.
Kills them.
I mean, so
that's another guy. Big size.
They didn't have Quinn Post, so
Kawhi, if he's held, like again.
Yeah, but Kawhi's also got a guard, you know, got a guard, Jimmy Butler, so that should take a little bit out of him.
Sure, maybe, but Jimmy Butler's not, like, his lateral quickness isn't going to be so much so where it's going to be.
No, but it's the more foul trouble and the energy exerted. Sure. But Zubac, the interesting thing with him, like, if you're looking at a matchup, we haven't had Quinn Post in the last couple of times. So we played them early in the season. What would it look like with Zubac having to guard him out on the perimeter a little and maybe wearing him down? Because we know he will get in the lane and kill them.
Did it look like Quentin Post was wearing anyone down on the Hawks?
Mm-mm.
No. Like, that's kind of where I'm getting at. Again, that's
but I
be
like
something.
That they stayed committed to playing him, well, even like, though not they, down the stretch.
They made and he was part of that little mini run they made at the start of the third, which he's been able to do sneakily, by the way. I feel like every single time I watch the start of a third quarter, it starts with the Post hitting a three.
Yep.
And it changes the momentum.
Especially
it really does.
A high one.
Yeah, and they always, like, I don't know if it's a play that Steve Kerr's calling out of the break, but it
always works.
Teams
fall asleep early in the half. They forget their assignment, and they forget that this guy can shoot. He's not at the top of the charts in terms of scouting report.
I don't know why that is. Like the guy's 7 feet. Like, he's
number one thing is
the sexiest jumper. Like, yeah, exactly. He's always, I feel like when he is taking a 3-point shot, it is going in, and that is confidence right there. Still, Quinton Post, 28 minutes for him in a starting role, 11 points, one assist, just 4 boards. Again, 7 feet tall. I'd like to see more of the boards getting controlled there. They got dominated on the glass, 46 to 38 overall, and 36 to 32 on the defensive boards, and 10 offensive rebounds. For the Atlanta Hawks, a lot of second chance points, and again, just attacking the paint. They were doing that offense. How many times I see Trae Young just, he does those lackadaisical, just like running floaters where it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna just lay it in. I know you love Trae Young's game, and he had a tremendous game. 25 points for him, 9 of 15. The 3-point shot wasn't there for him. He didn't need it. 6 of 7 at the line, but
he's
in
a foul baiter. It drives me nuts. He'll get around a guy and then
he's a really
stop.
Good player. He's a really good offensive player.
Okay, great. I think he's a losing player. I think he's a high volume player.
He was a winning player on Saturday.
He traveled like 7 times and they didn't call it once.
That one was a creep.
No. I'm not even talking about that one. That one was obvious.
Fitzgerald was going absolutely insane.
And he's right about that.
He did a walking in Memphis little line, which I very much appreciated.
Corey Maggette thought that was a travel.
Yeah,
for old school Warrior fans. Like, it's just, I can't watch him play. He's so annoying.
Really?
Yeah, he's just
I hate him as much as you do. Like, certain players really bother you, and Trae Young's one of them.
Michelle kept saying, what is with the hair?
Well, the beard is the patchy one. It's
what is going on? What look is he going for?
Yeah, it was not. Yeah. Well, he needs to go to Turkey, is what he needs to do. go to the Turkish flight, get the plugs. That's okay. You know, I have a back shoulder fade going up top. It's okay. Go to Turkey if you really feel like that way. He's the money for it. Why not?
You enjoy. I'm being serious for just a split second here. You really enjoy.
I enjoy his offensive game. I thought he was a really good ball distributor on Saturday. He had 10 assists. I thought he had some running floaters that were nice. I like his swagger in games because I know he's not going to back down, and he plays to the crowd, which I appreciate. He's player to watch.
He plays to the referees. See him. Lowry, CP3 at times.
Did you forget that run that he had against the New York Knicks in that playoffs run?
He won a series. Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
He won two series. Okay. It was very fun.
The guy gets around someone, stops, not to make a basketball play, but to get a foul.
Is he a really good offensive player or not?
He's solid. I think I really do think he's a high volume, high usage player who I don't think is a winning long-term basketball player. He doesn't make others better. Yeah, he gets a lot of high assist counts because the ball's in his hands and he's throwing it to people late.
Part of being
clocks.
A point guard is passing the ball and getting assists. Yes. That's what he was doing on Saturday. I don't want to see like I'm this Trae Young truther, but he's a good player and Trae Young showed, and if you don't think much of Trae Young, that's fine. But do you think of of the John Morants of the world? Do you think highly of him?
I would take John Morant over Trae.
Well, you might be playing him in a playoff series, and I know what Ja can do. Okay, and again, I know what Ja can do in a playoff series, and I fear Ja way more than I fear a guy like Trae Young.
Agreed.
And again, that highlights some of the deficiencies defensively of the Golden State Warriors, specifically in transition, where Trae Young was killing them yesterday. Steve Kurtz spoke about that.
40 points in the first quarter. We were swimming upstream the rest of the way, and I love the way the guys fought after that, but it was a layup line in the first quarter. Transition defense was awful. Give them credit. They were ready. They came out smoking hot. But at halftime, I think they had 23 assists and 3 turnovers. We didn't impact the game defensively until it was far too late.
23 assists and 3 turnovers. So if you look at the turnover battle, like it wasn't like outrageous. They had 9 to the Hawks 14, but it was the ones that killed you off the points off the turnovers, as Steve Kerr is saying. Like they were backbreakers in the first quarter. When you get down 17 points, like it's so hard on the road
this
without Stephen Curry.
This team doesn't have the offense to play catch up in a game like that. Nor do they have the defensive stoppers. No. If you're going to play Buddy Hield and you're going to play Quinton Post and you try to get back into games.
That's another guy, Buddy Hield, man. Like 1 3-point attempt in a game like that when you're down 17, start chucking them up.
I know.
Just start chucking them up. Like, why not do that? That was frustrating for me, like the Buddy Hield angle.
But they
this.
Also know that he's trying to shoot, and I thought they did a good job running him off the line, and he was making the extra pass.
Yeah, that's fine. But 17 minutes.
No.
Two shot attempts.
He's
are
out there to shoot.
That's literally what he's out there to do. I get
but
it.
Like, Santos, too, was really bad in this game.
4 minutes.
He has not. Yeah. Ever since JK's return, it feels like Guy hasn't been able to find his footing. But I would argue that, like, I like Guy, but he's a ninth man. Like, ideally, he's a ninth man.
He's
right?
A lunch pail guy. You know, try to make
it a
little bit
better. Yeah,
he'll
get a couple extra possessions. And if he knocks down a 3 or 2, like, it's found money. But without Steph Curry, you're hoping that Geek can hit a couple of threes, and he didn't, you know?
The fact of the matter is the Jonathan Kuminga-Jimmy Butler tandem has just not been great.
No.
It just hasn't been. And that was a game I felt like fans wanted to look at and say, yeah, like, Steph's out, okay, let's watch JK, let's watch Jimmy Butler, let's watch them get on the same page. Like, Jimmy was so, like, I really appreciated this, the leadership of Jimmy, because how much did he say when JK was out? Like, hey, JK, just come back. You play your game. Draymond Green, same thing. Just play your game. Hey, Steph, just play your game. Well, he's been playing his game, I guess, and it really hasn't translated. And if you're Steve Kerr, and there's a Steve Kerr angle in all this, like when do you start like reeling it back a little bit and like maybe you do feature? Because Steve Kerr was staunchly saying, like, no, we got to have minutes for Guy Santos, even with JK coming back. We got to find minutes for Guy Santos. Like,
I think Steve needs to do some stuff that'll actually help JK and Butler.
What are some of those things?
Overlapping minutes, number one, which there have been few and far between. Number two is stop the your turn, my turn. Like, as in, throw it to JK, like, all right, JK, do your thing. Right? I think JK can be extremely useful in a Jimmy Butler high pick and roll. How many high pick and rolls has JK and Jimmy Butler run together?
Yeah, like, none?
I don't even know if there's been one.
Yeah, I haven't seen any.
So, like, that's what I would like to do. But you have to have the appropriate spacing alongside those guys. So, you do have to play a Buddy Hield, and you do have to play a Quinton Post alongside those guys to have some stretch shooters, a Moses Moody. I think that lineup would actually work not bad. But here's where Steve goes, oh, I got to have a ball handler. Yeah. Well, Jimmy's your ball handler,
Right? That's where I
view him as the point guard when he's out there.
Like, well, especially with no Steph.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to
get with Steph, quite frankly, he's the ball distributor.
I agree.
Yes.
And if you're not going to play Pat Spencer, I believe he got a DMP in this game.
He did. DMP.
Yeah. So if Pat Spencer's not going to play at all, then yeah, Jimmy's got to be your backup point guard. And in that situation, like, run some high pick and roll stuff. We know Jimmy, like Trae Young, is going to stop on a dime and get a foul, right? And then you have JK as your roller. I would like to see more of that.
I actually want to play this sound. It's on my board still, and I'm glad it is. It was actually from last week from Anthony Slater.
I'm still hopeful that JK can turn this thing around. No, I am. But I'm still patient.
Absolutely. I think this is Slater from you and Evan, but he was talking about why Jimmy and Kuminga don't play together often, and it was very interesting to me.
Yeah, it's early, and, you know, Kuminga, they're still kind of, was what, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20, then like 27, 24, so yeah. I think that kind of limits it, but they should put that combo more. There's spacing concerns, but to me, sometimes I think they're a little bit afraid of it, like they were afraid of Wiggins and Kuminga, and to me, you don't have the similar problem as you had with that kind of the Wiggins-Kuminga pairing because of Butler's playmaking and his ability to lift others up, but I kind of think it's more been about who's in and out of the lineup and Kuminga's minutes restriction than them not wanting those two together, and I think you will see them together in lineup combinations plenty in the next few weeks.
That was Anthony Slater, excuse me, I had my mic off, last week with you and Evan.
So, like, think about it right now. Like, your point guard currently with no Curry is who?
Point guard with no Curry? Well, it's Pajemski.
It's Pajemski. But, right? So now, who's your backup point guard? Well, if you're not going to play Pat Spencer, which is fine, it's got to be JK.
Yeah.
Excuse me, JK. It's got to be Jimmy Butler.
No, he has to.
It's got to be Jimmy Butler, right? And so,
please God, not Jonathan Kuminga.
Like, JK needs to play alongside Jimmy Butler, but you also want Jimmy Butler playing those starter minutes and the overlapping seven when you don't have Curry, right? His minute allocation changes, and the combinations that you're playing with him, he's now the forefront scorer. So, like, they're just, everything's out of whack now.
Like,
it's one game, too.
And why are they so afraid? Like, I saw Jimmy Butler maximize Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and turn them into, like, high-quality players. Like, I know he could do that for Jonathan Kuminga if given the opportunity. But again, it goes back to urgency with this team right now, Joe Shasky. 11 games to go. Like, there's part of me where I understand Steve Kerr's like, I can't be tinkering and experimenting. Yeah. Like, we got to win these games. But at the same time, you kind of got to do the tinkering and experimenting now, because you're not going to be able to do that in a series. Like, that's done. Like, if I'm playing the Rockets in the first round series, like, and I lose game one or something, it's like, yeah, I can't start tinkering right there. Like, it's too late for that. So, like, you got to start doing these things now. And I thought it was a prime opportunity with Steph out to feature that tandem more together. And I just thought, again, whether it was the high pick and roll situation, not utilizing that enough, I don't know what it is. And that comes down to head coaching. And that's what it comes down to Steve Kerr with me. And we talked about it. Him being able to thread the needle with this team when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, it's going to be a lot on him to be able to do that. I know JK, to an extent, has some culpability because he's the player ultimately. But Steve Kerr's going to have to figure this thing out, because we know come Western Conference playoff time, like, the Thunder of the world, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, young, big, athletic teams, you are going to need Jonathan Kuminga's presence in a lot of minutes here, whether it's 22 minutes, 24. I don't care if he's starting or not. I just need him to be comfortable on the court with Jimmy, with Steph, with Draymond, and hopefully Steph comes back sooner rather than later.
Well, they played different combinations with JK. The one that I just doesn't work, and I know that they got off it almost immediately, JK, Looney, Draymond. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. There's too many non-shooters. It's not going to work for you. The other one that is clunkier is JK, Kevon Looney, GP2.
Mm.
Clunky. Not a lot of shooting. The other one is GP2, JK, Draymond. Like, those were the combinations. And if Buddy Hield's not going to take shots, you're making it a lot worse.
That was honestly,
right?
I think we can point the finger
at JK and we can blame him for this and that. But combinations of who this guy plays with matter. He's not a point guard. He's not a give me the ball, let me facilitate, let me get mine within the fabric of the game. You got to get him to the ball on certain spots on the floor. And so I do think that the spacing you have alongside of him is extremely important. But he's also, like, he's got to take a little bit of onus on his own career. And he's got to stop complaining. And that would be one thing I would say is, hey, JK, every time you take a possession and you're sitting and turning in, you stop playing basketball and you argue to the referees and put both arms up, it kind of drives me crazy.
Well, that's the Pajemskis of the world, the Kamingas of the world. Like, that's just what the young kids do now these days, unfortunately. That's part of it.
But here's what I'd say.
It's just what they do.
Again,
I feel like I'm an old man. I'm 31 years old. Young kids are doing these days.
But he's under the microscope.
Yeah.
And he needs to acknowledge that. And again, you have to take onus of your own career, right? This is his own career. And I would say it would start with stop complaining. Play through the contact. Look at what GP2 is doing without the ball and moving and creating shots for himself by just being active and aware, not waiting for the ball to come to him. That's the role that he needs to embrace a little more. And the harder you play on defense, the more the ball will find you on offense.
Well, did you hear when Slater said, who covers the Warriors 95% of the game, we just played that cut from Anthony Slater, and he was likening to, he's like, maybe they feel like they're a little scared of Jimmy and JK like they were JK and Andrew Wiggins. I was like, Jimmy Butler's just a completely different player than Wiggins. Totally different.
But Kerr does have certain philosophies that I don't know. There's certain things he's stubborn on that I don't agree with.
Like the vision of a Jimmy Butler as a passer, infinitely better than what Andrew Wiggins ever was.
Yeah.
Like that's why it's so much different to me. Like I feel like Jimmy's the perfect player to unlock. I really believe this, that Jimmy Butler is the perfect player to unlock Jonathan Kuminga. We just haven't seen it yet. And will we ever see it? And can we see it soon enough to the point where, you know, we feel good about him and Jimmy being on the court together and being a positive on there? Because right now it hasn't been a positive, and that's what's frustrating.
And they're missing, I'm telling you, like with Curry out and Pajemski now in the starting lineup, they don't have that backup point guard to set up that second unit. That second unit is bad.
11 games off, they need Stephen Curry back bad. I think he's going to play tomorrow.
Do you trust Kevon Looney off the bench?
No, I don't. He doesn't play enough for me to trust him right now.
Okay, do you trust Gee right now?
Not really, because confidence is so huge with these guys and matchup given. Let me backtrack on Kevon a little bit, depending on the matchup. I know what I'm getting from him. I'm not questioning.
Not today.
Not right now. Like, yeah. I don't question.
Things change.
I don't question his mental, like the IQ and the mentals there. Like the physicality, though, and like he's a slightly diminished player than what he once was. I know he's going to be a gamer. He's going to try, but like, is he going to be a winning player on the court? I don't know. I don't know.
Right, like I trust GB2 right now. I don't
trust Buddy Hield.
There you go. Right,
I don't trust Buddy Hield.
So they're playing different.
For him to game, I trust. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. He needs to shoot the ball.
But Joe, you're playing Kuminga alongside three guys no one trusts at times. Not long times, but at times.
And how could Kuminga trust them in a way too?
Right. Yeah. So like you're looking at a ball stopping situation with a bunch of non shooters and guys that aren't great.
No, it's a good point. You know who is great? It's a great caller. It's Tim in Raleigh, North Carolina.
What's up, Tim?
What's up, Timmy? How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? Hey, Shasky, man, that's why I love you, man, because you know the game and you see it, right? Like, I mean, everybody knows that we need the absolute best version of this guy to kind of maximize our talent, except the coach. Like, we are literally making some fictitious thing about Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga that's not even there. You just said we haven't seen one pick and roll. We haven't seen any of that. Like, it is absolutely mind-boggling when we see some of these things, and I have no idea why. You know, I quite honestly, man, I'm to the point now where let's get through the season, let them lowball offer this kid whatever they're going to offer and get him out of here, because playing under this coach, and listen, it's just not there. I mean, if you can't put a guy in a position to be successful, especially a 22-year-old who's coming back to a whole new team, that when he left, it was being ran through him, and leading up to his comeback, all he's hearing from the coaches, it's not going to be ran through you, and actually it's going to go through Jimmy, and you better be ready to adapt. Like, I think sometimes we don't understand, like, the mental aspect of this thing, man. So it's just not going to work, man. I'm ready to let's lowball offer the kid over the summer. Let him move on, because, honestly, I'm a fan of him, and I want to see what he's going to do with a coach that's going to empower him and want to get the best out of him. All of his success, Shasky, all of his success, man, has come from him being, like, self-made and having to just go get it. It hasn't come from them really putting him in a position to be successful. It was right before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that was reluctantly.
Yeah.
You
Tim,
know?
Tim, can I let me get in here. I want to hear your point on this. Don't cut him off, fellas. When they run an offense basically four out, and one guy who's either in the dunker spot or he's triangling up to the elbow, back down to the other dunker spot. They'd run GP2 in that role, depending on the lineups that they have. They'll put Kavon in that role, which okay, because he's not going to stretch the floor. They'll never put Kuminga there. They always have Kuminga out on the perimeter, and I'm like, that's not where he's best utilized. Put him in that dunker spot alongside the appropriate four on the outside. As we go, like, it's not a five-out offense. They run like a four and one. I never see them do that with him. I never see him be the lone guy to come up and set the screen. Like, there's things that you can do, subtle little things that you can do to utilize the skill set that he's got, and I don't see them doing that. Tim, are you still there?
Yeah, man. You remember that? You remember Shasky? They're running them out there with Gee, Looney.
I know.
GP. I mean, Shasky, do you remember the Clippers game when every time he was catching the ball, he was on the move?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was like poetry in motion. And like, even against the Suns, it was just poetry, man. But who he's out there with matters. We haven't seen him out there with Jimmy, Dre, Post. Like, I mean, we were envisioning him out there with a stretch five. So pick and roll with Post. So now when he comes off, if that guy doesn't help, Post is wide open. We haven't seen it, Chuck. What the? So if you can see this, well, you know what we will see, Shasky? We will say, oh, when everybody on the team was a minus going into the fourth quarter, but they had an opportunity to make their minuses look better, but his minus, he didn't have a chance to make his look better, so what we're going to see, oh, he was a minus 18, it doesn't work with him. But that's what we're going to say.
It's unfair.
Man.
It's unfair. Tim, it's unfair.
It is. Well, that's why the plus-minus things are all, I don't, it's whatever. Like, some, yeah, it could, like any stat, there's positives and negatives with it, like a plus minus. You like how I did that? Like, minus 18 overall, like the whole team. They were down 40 in the first quarter.
That's,
like, the whole team stunk. Sorry. 888-957-9570. It kind of leads me to this question. We've been like tiptoeing around it. Like, you know, the success of Jonathan Kuminga, ultimately, it's on the player, right? Like, or is it on the head coach at this point, putting him in a position to succeed? Because I do think a lot of fans feel that it's on the head coach, and he's ultimately going to be the one that decides the success of it. No, it is both, Joe Shasky.
I think it's both.
But I do think there's a question.
Because that takes JK off the hook.
But I do think that it's a question for the fan base at 888-957-9570. Is the success of Jonathan Kuminga on Steve Kerr? Like, is it on him to like have this kid succeed? Like, I do think a lot of fans feel that way, and I'm curious to see if there are fans that feel that way. 888-957-9570. By the way, Steve Kerr, on today, on our airwaves, 3 o'clock with Willard and Dibs. You are not going to want to miss that. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, joining the boys at 3 o'clock today. You're not going to want to miss that, because I do think they're going to ask him the Jonathan Kuminga question, and it's an important one.
Well, okay, so before I answer your question, why do we do this with this Warrior team? Like, and I know we do this in other sports, but like this Warrior team, a couple years ago, it's all because of Kevin Durant. He's a jerk. He's this. He's that. Get him out of here. And we like ran, like, not everyone. I'm talking about a small segment of fans ripping KD at every turn. Oh, the real Warrior basketball is when he's not on the floor. Okay, whatever. He's not one of the greatest players of all time. Got it. Okay, right? Then it was
real. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life, real quick. Real Warriors basketball is when Kevin Durant
That's not everyone. It's just this weird segment. And then it's like, Jordan Poole is so bad. He's the worst. Look, and I was frustrated with him too. Like, I was the biggest JP fan. Love Jordan Poole.
Party. It was fun.
I thought he was going to be the next to get the baton at some point down the line. You know, who knows? But like, he's the reason why we're not winning. Like, okay, he's not good right now, but he's not the only thing. They couldn't stop anyone, right? And there was a lot of issues. Then we ran him out of town after running KD out of town. And then it was Klay Thompson. Klay's the worst ever. And look, I had some criticisms for Klay, but I didn't think it was all Klay's fault. Nor did I think Klay's the X, Y, and Z reason of why that team didn't go further. They weren't good enough. Now, did I want him to have a different role? Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I wasn't running him out of town, and I wasn't disrespecting him at every single turn. But it was Klay's fault, and then we got rid of Klay. And now it's like hyper-focused after, and by the way, we also had Wiseman somewhere jumbled in there where it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Kuminga's fault. It's like, guys, everybody, it's not one player's fault when a team wins or loses. It's not one player's fault when you don't win at all. okay? It's just not. We did this to Harrison Barnes at one point in time. We did this to Monte Ellis at one point
in
time.
Tart.
We've done, but I'm talking about Warriors. I'm talking about Warriors land.
I know, I'm just saying, well, I'm just goes, but sports in general. Sure. We always want to blame one player.
We isolate one guy on the floor. Yeah. Mike Dunleavy at one point was this guy for the Warriors. Troy Murphy was. Like, it's just, it's exhausting. And I'm not saying that Kuminga is the end-all, be-all. Believe me, I see the flaws. Like, there's a lot that frustrates me with Jonathan Kuminga. I also see the talent, and I see the flashes. And so there's a happy medium here. But he's not the worst player on the planet.
No, he's not.
I don't get why he's so...
It's so polarizing. We had this conversation.
It drives me crazy.
Because Joe Shasky, because it's patience level with fan base, and it's also what we have been promised, not promises strong, but what we have been told from certain members of the media and how important he is for a run for this team. So if he's going to be the difference between winning and losing in the playoffs, if he's going to be the ultimate like decider, so... If we got Steph, we got Jimmy, and then we need that third score, and if we all think it's going to be, it has to be Jonathan Kuminga. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, but it has to be him. Then, yeah, people are going to be frustrated when they don't see the consistent scoring during the regular season. I was like, this guy's supposed to help us. That guy's supposed to help us. Well, I don't see it against the Hawks. I didn't see it against the Knicks. I didn't see it against the Bucks. Like, that guy, really? So that's why fans get a little frustrated and get a little peeved.
Well, frustrated is one thing. Like, I think running, can't play basketball at all. It's like, all right.
The fans get angry. That's what every knucklehead fan base is going to do that. Like, we know he can play basketball. We've seen him play good basketball. But right now, there's no patience for it because there's 11 games left in the season and you're clinging to a sixth spot. So people are going to be a little, you know, they're on edge, Joe Shasky. They should be on edge.
I've seen this script before and it bugs me that we have to isolate one guy. And the reason they lost to Atlanta, I'm not saying this is extreme, but there's a segment. It's because of Kuminga. It's like they lost because nobody showed up.
No one showed up.
Kuminga included.
They didn't. 888-957-9570. We're going to hit the injury report here in just a second. Oscar in Stockton, Ryan in St. Louis, AJ in L.A. We'll get to all of you on the other side. They want to talk Steve Kerr. They want to talk Jonathan Kuminga. And that relationship right there is what I want to dive into and what we have been diving into. Is Jonathan Kuminga and his success, is a lot of that on Steve Kerr? Is it on the player? Where's the happy medium between that? I think I know the answer. I think Joe Shasky knows the answer. What say you, though? Let's hit the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Steph Curry is back with the Warriors, but not necessarily on the court. He will join the Warriors on the road trip to Miami and could suit up depending on how his pelvic bruise responds to treatment over the next 2 days. An MRI on Friday revealed no structural damage, and Steph will be reevaluated later today. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's AJ in LA. It's Oscar in Stockton. It's Ryan in St. Louis. It's Joe Shasky. It's Joe Spadoni. It's Carter. It's Lubman. It's all of us talking Dubs after a disappointing loss on Saturday. Come on back halfway home on a Monday here in the Bay.